Coachella is going on now. It's one of the biggest festivals of the year. It's two weekends. This past weekend started huge. And, you know, they did the thing where they brought out a lot of guests, which is always so exciting when you're an audience member.
Sure.
Yeah, it started with No Doubt, brought out Olivia Rodrigo. That was huge. Yeah. Lana Del Rey, she brought out Billie Eilish. Huge.
Yeah, so these are all cool artists, easily recognizable. So, yeah, that's exciting, certainly.
But one of the most confusing things has to be when J Balvin, who's a Latin singer, he's incredible, probably one of the most famous in the world. He comes out, and who does he bring out?
Strange, watch your back, because you never quite know where the MIBs is at.
Wait, hold on. Wait, did he bring out Will Smith to sing the Men in Black song during his set? Oh, he did.
No Tommy Lee Jones, huh? That's disappointing.
Wait, but imagine you're in the crowd. You're like, wait a minute. Everybody's like, are we supposed to sing along? I thought we canceled Will Smith. What's he doing on stage with Big J Balvin?
It is an awkward one, right? When you thought he was canceled. Because if you sing, are you complicit? Is that what it means? Like if you're standing next to Chris Rock at Coachella, do you all of a sudden get silent and be like, nope. This is not okay. Is that what you do? Because you certainly don't sing along if you're rolling with Chris Rock,
well,
right?
Well, I feel like if Will Smith gets up there and he sings like any of the old hits, the Men in Black, the Welcome to Miami, like I can't help myself.
Yeah.
It just comes out of me. It's been ingrained in me for so many years.
Well, did you see the set? It was all alien themed too. So, I mean, it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously this is, you know, Will Smith's, hey, give me some of my money back to her.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Everybody's got to make their own personal choices, right? I mean, listen, I still like his music. I'm not going to go to the theater and see many of his movies, I don't think, though.
Well, you know, take that aside. It's one of those moments that you'll never forget if you were at Coachella. Like, remember when J Balvin brought out Will Smith?
Yeah.
But I think whenever an artist brings out a surprise guest, it's always a big deal and you always get super excited. I mean, I know for me, being a Taylor Swift fan, like that's a big thing. When she brings out a surprise guest, like it could be anybody. You keep your fingers crossed. I was at the show where she brought out Ice Spice and they debuted the Karma remix.
Mm.
And that was pretty cool to see Ice Spice, but definitely not my favorite guest of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen all that often. So that's the really cool element, right? So, I mean, I know sometimes it happens depending on what city you're in, whether or not an artist might be from there. You know, certain artists try to do it. And, you know, other genres are more open to it than others. Seems like pop is more open to it than hip-hop. You know, hip-hop would maybe do something in a town. Rock hardly ever did it. I mean, besides, like, Woodstock, Kid Rock brought out Run DMC one time. I thought that was cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, he brought out Jay Giles. I was like, who is that? Then they started playing Centerfold. Then I was like, oh, that's who that is. Okay.
Billy Joel brought out Tony Bennett once, and I was there. And it was one of those moments where, like, you're really taken away because you realize you're seeing two icons. And I mean, you never know if you're ever going to be able to see Tony Bennett perform and sing again. And the truth was, no, you know, he passed away. So like that was my last time ever being able to see him.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to see him now. No,
just on TV and in YouTube clips. But even like I saw Tina Fey and Amy Poehler not too long ago. They're doing like a comedy tour.
Sure.
And I'm like a comedy geek, especially for women's comedy. When they brought out Maya Rudolph, my daughter told me I shrieked so loud that she has never seen me happier in my life. I wish they all brought out surprise guests all the time. There was a very awkward encounter that happened at the Masters this weekend. A 22-year-old amateur made the cut for the tournament. His name is Neil Shipley, and he was paired to play with Tiger Woods in their final round.
Well, that's a pretty big deal.
Right? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, can you imagine being 22 years old? You somehow make it, and this is like the highlight of your life already, and then all of a sudden you find out you're with Tiger Woods.
I mean, the nerves.
Right?
You've got to be freaking out at that point. If you weren't already, now the ante just upped itself.
I mean, I think if anything, it's exciting. Tiger Woods is not the player he used to be. All right, so anybody can talk about it, whatever they want. I mean, he barely made the cut this time around. He didn't make the cut last time around for a major.
Still, Tiger Woods, man.
I mean, but that's the point, is that you made the cut as an amateur, so now all of a sudden you're going to have all the eyes on you. It's actually everything you want.
Right. So he gets, you know, he has to do the press conference after, and he's pumped as can be, talking about how exciting it is to being able to play with Tiger Woods and a highlight of his career. But then there's an awkward encounter with one of the press people asking a question.
I saw on one fairway, on a fairway, he wrote something and handed you a note. What was that about?
He didn't.
Oh, I thought he wrote something and handed you a piece of paper.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Stay out of my business. Stay out of my business, bro.
It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now, of course, everyone is saying, well, what was written on the note? Because he's like, Neil Shipley is looking around and he's looking at all the press people and he's looking at like his handlers and he's like, he's got this look of bewilderment.
Somebody save me.
All right, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of speculation about what was written on that note. Was it a note? Mm. Was it even a note or was it something else? What did Tiger Woods hand him at the hole? So funny enough, every single one of us got a copy of a note and that we think may have been handed to Neil Shipley from Tiger Woods.
Who's going to read it first?
Yeah.
All right. John, what do you think the note says?
I got this one right here. I'm going to assume that Tiger sees potential in this kid and that his career could go a long way because all he wrote on the note was, "Don't get married."
Oh.
That's a really short note. Profound advice. That's what I'm saying. If Tiger has career advice for someone who's on the same career track as him, where did it all go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, are the directions to Applebee's on that note?
No, literally three words. Don't get married.
Wow. Said, oh, gosh.
Well, that's really said, weird.
Concise.
Sean, what's the note that you thought that Tiger handed to Neil?
Oh. Well, what I thought he handed him was a note that said, "Will you go out with me?" and a checkbox of yes and a checkbox of no.
Oh, that's nice.
That was nice.
That's nice. Don't marry him, by the way. Don't marry Tiger Woods.
Do you like me more than a friend?
Will you go to prom with me?
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
I wouldn't do it.
My note.
Oh.
Don't believe everything you read about me on the internet, especially if it involves my ex-wife and a golf club. Oh.
Even if it has video. All
right. So to go back to my point.
That's so weird.
Same note. Just kept going. Oh, all right. Here we go. I have a note also. First rule about Golf Fight Club, you do not talk about Golf Fight Club.
Oh, wow.
I guess they didn't get along as well as I thought.
Who knew? Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. Go ahead, vent, get it off your chest. Here we go. Katrina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you constantly bring up your ex or exes in a new relationship, that's all I need to know. Now, if you bring up your ex as a learning point, then that's different. But don't be bitter.
Oh.
In a learning point. Is that like in an interview where somebody asks you, like, what did you learn? You know, what was the challenge you dealt with at your last position and how did you deal with it? I mean, I don't know. Do you want to share learning points of your last relationships with people that you're dating?
I mean, not off the bat, but right. I can see, like, if you've been dating for a few months and it comes up, like, I would be curious to be like, well, why didn't your last relationship work out? And they'd say, well, she would prioritize her mother over me. Then at least I understand where they're coming. I don't know. I think it's okay.
I mean, those could all be lies, but all right. First date, though. Second date. I mean, no. We're talking about exes or whatever.
Never.
Like, clearly you're not ready. And clearly this is a mistake.
Red flag. Johnny, that's all I need to know about you.
If you break up with someone but then get jealous when they start dating someone else, that's all I need to know about you.
Is that normal? Like, I mean, curious is one thing. It's not the same thing as jealous, I guess, right?
There is a sense of jealousy anytime somebody moves on. You know, even if you couldn't stand them and whatever, you think like, well, do they do better? Do they think that person is better than me? Do they compare me to them?
It's so much more satisfying to think that their life went down the tubes.
They've never recovered.
That's right. Yes. Right. I was the best thing that ever happened to them. And then after that, I mean, they're alive and good for them to still be breathing. But other than that, their life is a failure.
I believe that there's a couple of my exes that I was the greatest thing that's ever happened. They look back and they think I blew it.
Right.
And now whether or not that's true, I don't know.
I was going to say, and then you find them on Facebook and they're doing great with beautiful families and they're wealthy.
I was the best they ever had. Troy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you wear headphones or like anything like that in your car while you're driving to listen to music or something, that's all I need to know about you.
I never understood that. Like, are they taking a phone call? Like, why? If you're by yourself in the car, why would you be wearing headphones or earbuds?
Well, your radio got stolen. If your radio got taken or, you know, you don't have Bluetooth in your car, you could be listening to an audiobook. You could be learning how to speak French. You could be doing anything at that. But I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's smart.
Well, Russ, let's say, what if there's like an ambulance coming or there's noise or there's a car or a child or something? You can't hear that.
Motorcyclist, anything. Yeah, yes. In general, it's best to make sure that you can hear.
I absolutely agree with you.
That one in the mask in the car by yourself weirds me out.
Yep.
Like there's nobody in your vehicle. You're wearing a mask, and it's not even about, you know, like those times being over, because for some people, who knows what their reasons could be that they're wearing one out in public, but if there's nobody in your vehicle, seems weird.
It's protecting yourself from yourself.
But, well, clean your vehicle if it's that bad that you think it's going to kill you. Get rid of it.
Is there such thing as a magic drink? Check it in with the experts.
Health-wise with Dr. Wider. The Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, these magic drinks, these potions that are supposed to make you live forever. I actually just saw an article about cranberry juice is now considered a magical drink. What is going on with them, and are they real?
Our supermarket beverage aisle is starting to look more like a pharmacy, and you have all of these sodas and drinks that are made with things ranging from mushrooms that are supposed to improve your mental clarity, collagen, which is supposed to be like the fountain of youth. There's some interesting data behind some of these, but you are spending a ton of money in this a $40 billion industry right now. People are rushing to join the bandwagon, and unfortunately, the results are far from what's promised.
Oh, come on now. The collagen thing's made up too. I trusted Jennifer Aniston.
You mean to tell me that eating those mushrooms in my drink and drinking it is not going to make me remember an entire book word for word?
Listen, a lot of these drinks are supposed to like give you a lot of energy. And here's the interesting thing. When it comes to energized drinks, which corners the market, they're marketed towards younger kids. And the problem is that the regulation of these are a little bit sketchy, just like the regulation of these drinks that have collagen or mushrooms or these adaptogens or these immunogens that are supposed to boost your immune system. And people drink one or two of these and you have an insane amount of sugar and an insane amount of caffeine. We see this all the time where people are unfortunately getting really sick, having heart events, or potentially dying from these. So people need to be really careful what they're buying and what they allow their kids to buy. In small print on some of these drinks say that, you know, if you're under 18, if you're taking antidepressants, if you have a medical condition, if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you should steer away from these, and nobody reads the side.
You know, talking about all these drinks and the things that our kids drink, I know that it's been massive over the last maybe 2 years at this point. Prime. But,
oh, yeah. Well, Logan Paul. It's the Paul brothers, right? Logan and Jake Paul.
But I went to go try it, because, of course, I was like, let me see what this is all about. I went to buy it, and I was looking at it, and I guess there's two different kinds of Prime. There's one that's just flavored water, and then there's another one that has the caffeine. Do you know anything about that?
Prime Unleaded.
Prime Unleaded, exactly. Because of the negative press around energy drinks, the Pauls put out a non-energized version of Prime. And it's like a social status symbol. At least it was last year where people were drinking this and it was selling off the hook. Now they have a non-energized version of this for younger kids because they came under a ton of scrutiny.
It's great marketing. Yeah. Just get that money no matter what. Wow.
It is. It is, definitely. I think what we need to remember is everything has the potential to have health benefits or to be toxic or to do nothing. And I think at the end of the day, if you were to ask a lot of experts, should they be drinking these for their health? A lot of the studies that go behind these immunogens or the adaptogens are studies that happen either in a lab or with lab animals, and you may not be able to translate the benefits to humans. And on the other hand, you have the potential for some of these energy drinks to really do harm. So you shouldn't use these as supplements, and you need to exercise caution with these functional beverages. But I'm telling you right now, this is a big thing. It's a billions of dollar industry, and it's here to stay. We just need to be savvy consumers.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna.
All right, guys.
Why does it have to be so difficult? Where are you supposed to go on a first date?
Mm.
Raven, producer John, there was a list that went viral that had a list of places you should never take a person on a first date.
Okay.
And on the list, it's many popular chain restaurants like Applebee's, Chili's, Olive Garden, Buffalo Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings, Red Lobster, Cheesecake Factory. And then in addition to
why those, hate? Why all the hate?
I don't understand.
I mean, you say three of those restaurants and we know what kind of restaurants you're talking about immediately. Like, I get it. I don't agree with it necessarily, but I get it.
I love the chicken avocado with bacon sandwich at Chili's.
Right. It's delicious.
You get the 2-for-20 deal. It's
the
awesome.
Dry rub is also not terrible.
You like that, Anna Zapp?
But anyway, other places on the list that you should never take somebody on a first date, this is a list that went viral, includes the movies, the gym, a bar, for coffee or going to an ice cream shop, a bowling alley, and any sporting event. And then I was just wondering, where else in the world is there to go?
Right.
I don't understand.
Right?
I mean, plenty of those sound good. Like, the movie's okay because you can't really do conversating, right?
Yeah,
the bar,
that.
All right, could be the same thing. Could be loud and a little bit wild or whatever. But coffee? I mean, a sporting event? Like, you should be able to talk at those things.
So just a Michelin-starred restaurant and that's it. That's our only option for first date.
You know what? And I'll say that that's a bad choice.
Yes.
Because anything too fancy or over the top is, you've got expectations or whatever. The other person's feeling the pressure. Like, that's bad.
You know what? And this would normally be the point where I would make a joke about how expensive it is. But no, actually, Raven, to your point, you're 100% correct.
I mean, I've made that mistake.
If you go that all out and that fancy on the first, it's weird. Yeah. It's awkward.
So, John, you've been on 7,586 first dates.
Thank you.
Certainly
so
more
much.
Recently than us.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
So, last week.
Yes. You know, for context, I got divorced a couple of years ago. But, you know, yes, continue, yeah. Anna Zapp.
You dove right back in.
I did dive. I did dive.
Head first. You're like, go.
Okay, they get it.
I'm sure there were a couple days that he took off.
They get it.
Right.
So where would you go on a first date?
You know, it was usually a bar restaurant, to be fair, not like just a straight dive bar or something like that. But I went on a hike for a first date, and that was not good at all. And also not my idea. And we got lost. We got very lost in the woods, like off the trail, pulling out Google Maps, struggling to get a signal, lost.
I mean, at that point, you get an eye-opening experience because you realize what is the other person like under pressure. You also think if this is the end of the world, we're both going to die out here, and now I'm with you. Yeah. And you realize that this is not the person for you.
We actually went out for a couple of months after that.
It's funny because a hike is on the list of good first date ideas. And I would think that if I got asked to go on a hike for my first date, it would give me a lot of anxiety.
Serial killer.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the woods with this guy I don't know. I'm not a very strong hiker. Do I have the proper footwear?
And that aside, can he protect me from a bear?
Right.
Right. And,
I don't know what his bear fighting skills are.
Well, it was the fact that she asked me. And, you know, for me, like, I like a concert on a first date.
Yeah.
I do that. But then again, like, we work at a radio station and we get a lot of free concert tickets.
When you were lost, did you think that there was any point that she might murder you?
Yes.
Okay. See, you knew it.
Reaction.
You know, I mean, she's like, why did you lure me here and then not know where you were going? Clearly a murderer.
Where do you go on a first date? You got any unique, great ideas? 1-800-330-9999. I follow this page on Instagram that makes suggestions. And one of them, I was like, I don't know if I like this or if I hate it, but I think I'm going to take my husband there on just a date, period. It's coming up next. Where are you supposed to go on a first date? There's this viral list of all the places not to take people on first dates. And it's everywhere that's normal. Everywhere from Olive Garden, Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, any fast food chain restaurants on here. But it also has, Raven, producer John, things like coffee dates or Starbucks. And I don't understand, like, aren't those normal places you go?
That's where the list gets weird. The chain restaurants, okay, fine, I get it. Like, you know, you don't want to seem like you're trying to cheap out. But a coffee date is, I mean, that's perfectly acceptable.
I mean, again, though, we talked about the fact that if you go too over the top expensive, it's too much, right? So, I mean, what the heck, all right? You don't like the never-ending pasta? That's right. I mean, what's the hate on that? You know what I mean?
Well, they did a survey of Plenty of Fish users, and they said that most people that got married off the site, their first date was going out to dinner. So I guess you just have to find a non-chain restaurant to take people out to.
I guess so.
And then also on the list came a walk and then coffee or drinks, which are also on the list. So who knows? Who knows what it is?
A walk is good or a walk is bad?
A walk is good, according to Plenty of Fish. I guess a hike is bad, but a walk is good.
So weird.
Yeah.
I would think that a gorgeous romantic date would be you take your telescope, you have a nice picnic lunch or dinner.
Right? Is this going to involve looking at space?
Stick around in the field, and then you use the telescope to look at space later. It's nothing I've ever done. I mean, I go to the bar, but, you know, other than that, like, that would be a good idea.
I follow this person on...
I can't make my telescope work, by the way. I love space, but I look up in the sky, and I can't make it work.
This this Instagram page that has all suggested first dates, and one was going to a rage room, and if you've never been to a rage room, you basically just take a sledgehammer and smash stuff. And I thought that was kind of cool.
That's
like,
a great idea.
You should know right off the bat I have anger issues and watch me go at it.
Well, that's the thing, though, is like, what if they do it and it's so scary, the encounter with this person in the first date, you immediately know that you're in danger.
If they agreed to that date, they're your person.
Yeah. Kayla, where did you go on that first date?
My first date with this guy was to his job interview.
What?
It was the first time I was ever going to, like, a blind date. First time I was going to meet him. And he just picks me up. We're supposed to go to happy hour. And he says to me, real quick, I got the last slot on this interview. I really want to go. Can you come with me and just wait in the lobby? I go. I stand in the lobby for like 45 minutes. He comes down and he's looking all deflated and depressed. And he's like, oh, I bombed that interview. Let's just go home and just drop me off. So I went and stood in a lobby at this guy's job interview and went home.
Is that for real?
I can't even believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me.
What was the job for?
It wasn't even important. It was like a data entry. But he really needed a job. Another sign that I should have not been going out with this guy.
There's so many things wrong with this, right? Like, I mean, if you need somebody to hold your hand going to a job interview, I'm not hiring you, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm certainly not dating you if it's the first time we're ever hanging out and going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's so weird, you know? It's okay if you need a job. And I'm here to cheer you on if you're going to get that job. Hey, you've got an interview today? Fantastic. Why don't you show up and get me 20 minutes later? No problem. Good luck at the interview. This whole thing spiraled.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go on that as a first date.
Bad.
Steve, where did you go on your first date?
I took her to the department store, let her buy anything she wanted. I wanted to see how good she was with money. I wanted to see if she spent too much money.
You learn a lot, I guess, in that process. What did she buy?
She got some of the, like, the store brand snacks and stuff, and that's when I knew things were going to be good.
The store brand snacks. I feel like what a strange situation to be in as a woman where you go on a first date and you're brought to like a JCPenney's or a Macy's or a Bloomingdale's and they're like, you can pick one thing. Yeah. And you're like, is this a test? I got my own money. I don't need you to buy me a blazer.
Okay, Beyonce.
Not going to lie. It's been a very, very, very emotional day. And I didn't anticipate it was going to be like that. And it's all because of Bluey. If you haven't heard about this, Bluey put out this extended episode. It's 28 minutes long, which is like three times longer than a Bluey episode is. And if you're not familiar with Bluey, it's an animated show that kids absolutely love.
Absolutely love it. The little ones, yeah.
So this comes from the trailer of Bluey that was just released.
Everything will work out the way it's supposed to, Bluey.
Woo! Whiskey and Bradley, sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage.
What? A little dinosaur sitting in the carriage.
So if you're not familiar with Bluey, a lot of times what they do is they put very adult themes into here. So it kind of has to do it. And the creator even says he does it on purpose because it mirrors what happens in his own life so that kids kind of get a... This is real life, and that's why parents can relate to it.
To anything that is heartbreaking, anything that is troublesome or whatever, you have to desensitize children, right? Because sooner or later, you're going to encounter those things. So you have to talk about these different situations.
They're moving. No spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
But they're moving. And the name of the episode is The Sign. And it's about the sign, the for sale sign in the front yard. And parents are losing it. There's videos posted all over the internet about parents just crying, watching it, all about like the heartache that goes with making a big move when you don't want to move and leave all your friends and family behind.
Well, when you're a kid, you never want to move. You hardly ever want to move, right? And they believe that if they get rid of the for sale sign, that the move won't happen.
This killed me because, you know, I moved last year and my daughter was four last year. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for kids to understand what that means, like when you're moving away. I moved one town over.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even move far.
It's not forever away.
Right.
But to them, it's a whole new world.
Gosh.
Right.
And, like, every night, having that conversation with her, I would cry. Like, it struck close to home. But why do they do this in kids' things? Why do they make it so sad? So we were talking about, like, what was the childhood movie that made you cry? And you can call 1-800-330-9999. What was it for you, Raven?
Fox and the Hound. It's the moment when they realize that they're no longer going to be friends.
You shouldn't be over here. You're going to get us both into a lot of trouble.
I just wanted to see you. We're still friends, aren't we?
Todd, those days are over. I'm a hunting dog now. I'll let you go this one time.
I'll let you go one time.
Oh,
The next time I see you, it's over. And then somebody, I mean, spoiler alert, his buddy gets killed. All right. Then he falls in love. Then he tries to kill his girlfriend.
This is a children's movie.
It's a terrible, terrible thing.
This movie, I was 11 years old when I watched it for the first time, has stuck with me my entire life. And as I was watching it earlier today, it made me cry again.
Something happened to Thomas J. last night. He stepped on a beehive.
I told him not to tease those bees.
He was allergic to bees.
He's okay, isn't he?
No, he's not okay.
He's not okay.
He died. He died. And then, this is from my girl in 1991, and then she's at the funeral, and...
You want to go tree climbing, Thomas J.? His face hurts. And where is his glasses? Oh. He can't see without his glasses.
Can't see without his glasses. Oh. Yeah.
Put his glasses on.
I can't watch that scene ever again. Yeah. It terrified me of bees my entire life.
Okay, well, that's good, but you're not allergic to them, but that's okay.
Well, we don't know, because I've never been stung. I've never let it happen. Oh, gosh.
Everything will work out the way it's supposed to, Bluey.
Everybody's crying over this newest episode of Bluey that's 28 minutes long. It's called The Sign, and it's about them moving, and parents are losing it and just crying all over the place.
You know what? Let me just be real for a minute here, all right? We open this up to saddest movies that you remember from your childhood. The phone lines are jammed, and I'm so glad that we don't have more room to do this all day, because this is really, really hard on me. Just remembering, like, hearing, like, when you hear people talk about this stuff, they are deeply affected by these movies still at this point, and they haven't thought about it for years. We locked it up.
Yeah.
We blocked out the trauma.
I don't understand why, like, a lot of these animated movies and these children's movies do this. Why do they make them so sad?
They gotta make you learn.
We always joke about it, but it's true. Like, why do all the parents die in the Disney movies? Like, why did Elsa and Anna's mom and dad have to die? I remember in the first movie watching that in the theater, and, like, my daughter at the time was so young, and I was just like, ah! Again, they died.
It has to create a scenario where the child is left alone and they have to, you know, because we all feel isolated at times in our lives. I mean, it's psychological.
What was the children's show or movie that as an adult, like, you just couldn't take it? You just cry. 1-800-330-9999. Amanda.
The never ending story when the horse goes in like the quicksand.
Yes.
So traumatic.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible. Right. That was terrible. You know, they're remaking that now, and I don't know whether or not I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it.
Oh my gosh, petrifying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Artax, you're sinking. Come on, get around. You have to now. Fight against the sadness, Artax. Please.
Yeah, it was really, really sad. The horse. Yeah. Oh.
The horse.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm going to cry.
Cry for days.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks for
that. The lifetime of being scared. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Right. Sheila, what was the saddest movie you remember from growing up?
The Lion King, when Scar pushed Mufasa off the cliff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or when he tells Simba that it's all his fault and tells him to go away, he should go away.
But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. What will your mother think?
What am I going to do?
Run away, Simba. Run. Run away and never return.
Mm. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I was bawling and my kids were looking at me like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. How awesome, though, when James Earl Jones comes back. Mufasa's back. Correction. I know your father. And then he's there and they're talking.
Yes.
It's great. I mean, that's why in Black Panther I knew everything was going to be okay. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
Hey, Donna, saddest movie you remember when you were younger. What was it?
Frosty the Snowman.
Mm.
When he melts in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
When they didn't find Frosty and Karen on the hill, Santa followed Frosty's pad in the snow to the greenhouse. But when they got inside, a terrible sight met their eyes.
Oh!
It was so sad. I was crying, and then Santa comes and saves the day.
Yeah, thank gosh. All right, Santa. I mean, could have been here a little bit earlier, saved me the heartbreak, but yeah, that was really nice.
Oh, I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. There's so many bad ones. Up. Whenever I watch Up and I see that little old man and I think to myself, that's going to be my husband one day if I die first.
Anna asked me, we were discussing this, and she goes, Yours just isn't up, right? Because if I get there, I'm going to have to say it, and you can't do it. You can't say it for me.
I can't talk about up. Whenever I see that movie, it makes me so sad. I mean, these are kids' movies.
These movies are so hard that when you left them, you were transformed. You were a different person when you left. Wow.
To all my fellow students, and before we make this thing official, I thought I'd give you guys some advice. You got to fight for your life!
It's a good thing he's so successful at this point in his life, because if not, you'd be like, why is this guy here? That was the keynote speaker at your graduation.
Well, this wasn't a real graduation. This is why people are so fired up and confused. They are the most famous brothers in the country right now, Travis and Jason Kelce. But there's been a lot of controversy this past week because they went to their alma mater. Now, neither of them actually walked at Cincinnati when they graduated for different reasons.
This happens a lot of times with athletes, right? Because they go to the NFL, right? And then they finish the degree later on.
Right. So they have their podcast, and they were filming the podcast and recording the podcast at Cincinnati. So there was a lot of people there, and it was a big celebration. And the school decided to do an impromptu graduation, complete with cap and gown and everything for them, because they didn't actually get to walk at their graduations.
It's like being an honorary doctorate.
But I was laughing because the reason why Travis didn't get to walk is because he lost his helmet, right? Like his school football helmet.
Yeah.
And the school said he had to return it in order to graduate, and he could never find it. So the University of Cincinnati presented him what looked like the exact same helmet so he could finally graduate.
I mean, listen, if you owe bills, right, a lot of schools will do that. They'll hang something over your head. If you have something that's unresolved, they're going to be like, no, you cannot be present at graduation. You cannot walk.
Raven, producer Sean, I had $400 in unpaid parking tickets.
And how does that even happen?
So because there used to be, next to the townhouses where we would live, there was what we called the circle. And there was a circle where you were never supposed to park in there. But the parking lot was so far.
So you parked there every day.
I would park there. So if I had to bring groceries in, if I had to, like, drop somebody off, if I was just running in for a quick minute, I would park in the circle. And I swear, that campus security was on me. The minute I got out of the car, there'd be a boom. Stay, like, right on my car. There'd
I
be a
love you
ticket.
Present it like you were taking your invalid grandfather out of the vehicle and they were writing a ticket right there. I'm sure every one of those times was one of those circumstances. But either way, I get it. Unresolved.
My mom was so mad. Like, I had to be like, Mom, for graduation.
I need $400.
Because I kept thinking they were the fake police. They're like the campus police. Yes. The fake police. Right. No, I'm like, that's how they got me. I'm not going to be able to walk at graduation if I don't pay this $400 in parking fees that I've accumulated over the last 4 years.
Imagine telling your parents that. Sorry, guys, there's no party today.
No.
And the reason being is this. So at my high school, what they did was they just threatened us all. It's like, if you do anything crazy in the last week, you don't get the diploma. They didn't put them in our actual folders.
Sean, that's what happened to you, right?
That's exactly what happened to me. Mm. Me and five of my friends, a day of graduation, we hosted a car wash and we wore nothing but Speedos so we could have drinking money for that night. And so we decided, let's, like, our last senior prank, you know, we just wore nothing but the Speedos under our gowns. I'm alphabetically the last friend, so when I got my diploma, my other four friends ran up on stage and we all just derobed. And little did we know, everyone in our class but the five of us knew that they weren't putting our diplomas in our actual, like, you know, the booklet that it came in, because they knew the five of us were going to be up to no good. They almost forced us to keep us for another year.
How is that even possible?
Why wouldn't they warn you? Why wouldn't they warn you so you wouldn't do it?
Because we had terrible friends who thought it'd be funny if we did it.
I mean, what about the school?
Yeah,
right.
Ridiculous.
Listen, I'm holding on to this. Right.
Why didn't you walk at graduation? 1-800-330-9999. Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce finally got their college graduation ceremony. Neither of them walked. And the reason why Travis didn't was because the school wouldn't let him walk unless he returned his football helmet and he couldn't find it.
I mean, how do you lose your football helmet? You're a football player. You need that thing everywhere you're going. I feel like he kept it.
No, I feel like that's part of his persona. I don't know what happened to it. Now I can't walk at graduation. Oh, well, I'll just go marry Taylor Swift and live the best life of my life.
Right.
Right.
If it only worked out like that for everybody.
But I laugh because I got a $400 parking ticket that I had to pay before graduation, or they weren't going to let me walk. And that was a tough conversation to have with my mom, I'll tell you that.
Because every time Anna pulled up with the groceries or whatever, I mean, if we believe your sob story, they wrote you a ticket.
Why didn't you walk at graduation? Rich, what happened?
No, I didn't. I actually graduated a semester early, and I didn't even know if they did, like, a winter graduation. And college was so hard, I was just like, I'm done.
I'm out of here.
As soon as you got the notice, basically, you packed up the dorm and left. I'm out of here.
Yeah, but that happens to a lot of people. It's like anticlimactic. If you finish in the middle of the school year and then you have to wait until June for graduation, at that point, you've been done since January. Like, do you really care at that point about going back and doing all the formalities? That happened to my husband, and the only reason why he walked was because I forced him to so we could walk together, because I graduated that year, too.
I mean, that's what I would assume is, like, you know, friends and family would possibly bring you back. That's what I would think.
Michaela, why didn't you walk at graduation?
I didn't walk because I totally forgot that I was supposed to do 12 hours of community service, and a week before graduation, I was notified, hey, you didn't do your community service, so you can't walk. And I'm just like, are you serious? Now I have to finish those 12 hours of community service and wait for the next semester to end before I can walk.
How terrible.
You would think that they would have notified you before, I suppose.
Wow. Is that for college, it was.
I mean, they're getting everything in order. Like, they got to give you the information, the details on the ceremony before that, right? So they're not going to remind you until a week before, hey, you didn't walk. And that seems,
You didn't walk because you didn't do community service. You're up. Like, that's upsetting. I'd be like, somebody needs to forge me some kind of letter saying I did it, and I promise I'll make it up so I can go to heaven.
On the other hand, some of your classmates that are like granola crunchers are going to be like, well, that's because you're a terrible person.
Right.
So you got exactly what you deserve, and the rest of your life is going to get worse.
I cried as I was telling my parents because...
You better, or else I would be losing my mind.
Yeah. That was the worst part ever.
Yeah.
Christian, why didn't you walk?
Well, I was sort of the orchestrator / mastermind of the senior prank, and we let loose a bunch of animals in the school, and they didn't. That was it. That was the prank. We just let out a bunch of animals in the school, and they didn't let me walk.
I don't like the pranks involving animals. Unless the animal's like, hey, I'm a willing participant. I'm here for the pranks.
How many pigs and chickens do you know are willing participants of a high school prank?
See exactly why I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. High school? College?
Well, yeah. What was it?
This is high school.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have a fully formed brain yet or anything close to it then, so we'll forgive you.
That's the thing about high schools. Like, they will dangle being able to walk at graduation for everything. They'll be like, senior skip day, if you don't show up, you're not going to walk.
Yep.
You know, prom, you show up drunk, you're not going to walk. Like, it was everything.
I want you to imagine telling a parent whose child has gone to school for 4 years and done a good job and then takes one skip day that they're not going to walk at graduation. Parents would lose their mind nowadays.
Yeah, it'd be different.
80s, 90s, they were like, well, you're going to do what the teacher says.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Colin and Jackie. Colin, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, oh, the problem is my wife lies about having restaurant reservations when we go to restaurants, and I feel weird about it.
Oh.
What do you mean lies? Like, she just says,
like,
you haven't?
We get in there. We don't have a reservation, but she just says that we do and insists that we do. And, you know, before too long, they say they just declare that it's their mistake. And they say, oh, we're so sorry. And they give us a table. And I don't know if we're jacking up their whole flow for the night or making other people who actually made reservations have to wait. But it's a lie. It feels weird. I don't like it.
Jackie, that's so shady.
Whatever, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, we always get a table. Maybe we have to wait a few minutes. And look, the customer's always right. It's their job, and it's fine.
Jackie, what started this behavior? I need to know. So you just decided from moment one the reservations with restaurants were a dumb idea, and you just done this in your entire life? Or is there a catalyst for this or a reasoning behind it?
No, Colin doesn't like to commit. I mean, you know, in the past, I would make reservations at like 5 different places in the hopes that, you know, we could pick something nice, and he would never decide. So I said, you know what? I will make no reservations.
Hmm. You know what? I mean, I'm going to admit it, and some people are going to dislike it, but I don't make reservations ever for mani-pedis. Get my nails done, anything like that?
No, that's different.
No, it's different. You know why it's different? Because they don't respect the appointment that you make anyways.
Well, that's,
they'll take anybody coming in there. But because it's common knowledge, you don't need an appointment from now on. I always say I have one.
Oh, you say you have an appointment?
Every time I say we have one. And they look at me and they're like, do you know who you made it with? And I'm like, somebody.
Raven.
On the phone. Definitely had one. And you know what? They bring me right in. They do it all the time.
Probably because it's like, how often does a giant hairy man come in and demand a pedicure he has an appointment for?
At my nail places on the weekends, you know what people do? It doesn't open specifically till 9 o'clock. 8:45, they know the door's open, so people just walk in.
Okay, there's a lot of things going on here. One, Raven, please get out of here with your manicure pedicure. Two, Jackie, I mean, I don't know what's worse, to be honest, making reservations at 4 or 5 places and then you don't show up to them, you only go to where you go, or not making anything and lying and putting the hostess on the spot. Like, I've been that hostess. That is a terrible situation to be in because you don't know what to do.
Oh, you're shaming her.
Well, she should get shamed. It's a problem.
I don't know. I don't think everybody's going to agree with you necessarily.
I guess I'm only upsetting one hostess instead of 5. How's that?
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Jackie, that it's no big deal. You go in, there's a quote-unquote mix-up, they figure it out, and you get a table. They should be thankful that the business is coming your way. Or they may see Colin's side, too, that it's just rude. Like, either make the reservation or don't, or just go and be honest and see if they have something available and wait if you have to wait.
I'm just saying it's the best of bad choices. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Bothers me even to talk about it. It really does.
I mean, Jackie, that's why I'm having so much fun with it.
Yeah, I know, because it makes me crazy. Jackie makes multiple reservations at restaurants and then only shows up to one, doesn't cancel the other ones, blames it on her husband that he can't make his mind where to go, so that's what they have to do. He didn't like that she was doing that, so her new thing is she just lies. She walks in and insists that she has a reservation, and she doesn't think it's a big deal. And Colin says, yeah, it's a big deal. And she's like, they figure out a way to squeeze us in. It works all the time. What do you think about this?
I think that when you're in business, there's unexpected things that come up every single day. It doesn't matter what business you're into. The food business is no different than any other, right? So, you know, customers show up. People have last minute orders. And of course, there are clients that lie as well. You know, it should be stated that Colin just won't let her decide on where it is that they're going to eat or when he wants to eat either. It's like a little game that he plays. I mean, why doesn't he grow up and do the right thing, which just says, yes, 6 o'clock, we can go eat at this place.
Agreed. But she has the gall to go in and say to a hostess, I have a reservation. Oh, it's not there. Well, I talked to somebody. Oh, gosh, I can't stand those people. But maybe you don't think it's a big deal. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on his side because I've had a situation like that happen to me where the couple ahead of us, like, got in before us. And I'm like, wait a minute, we had reservations. And they're chuckling. And the husband, you could tell, was embarrassed. And I'm like, what is going on right now? We just missed our table. And we had to wait 20 minutes before our table was ready.
You're lucky it was only 20 minutes. Sometimes if you grab that last table in a restaurant and they don't have another table, you're easily waiting 45 minutes to an hour for the next one. Easily.
I'm out.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Kind of infuriates me, but here we go. Colin and Jackie have a disagreement because... Well, Colin can never make his mind up on what dinner he wants to go out to on the weekend. So Jackie was doing this thing where she would make reservations at 4 places, then they would just pick one of the reservations and go. Colin said that was wrong,
yeah.
Which it is. She has a new idea. And what she's been doing is she goes to restaurants and she lies and says she has a reservation to the hostess, even though she doesn't. And Colin also has a problem with that, as he should.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it all is an uncomfortable situation. There's that awkward moment, right? But the truth is that you got to eat. So unless you want to be out there on the sidewalk waiting for forever, you're going to do whatever you can to try and wiggle your way in. Is it any different than dropping a name, saying you know somebody or you know, trying to work your way in through the bar or you're being on standby? I mean, I don't think it's all that different.
I do. I think it's very different.
I don't think you should call 6 places and make reservations either, though.
All right. Raven thinks it's okay to lie to hostesses. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
I don't believe it's the right thing to do, and I don't believe that making 5 reservations in a single night is correct or coming in and lying. So that whole thing is just terrible.
You know what? Who needs 5 choices every night anyways, right? What are we? Royalty? Who are we? Right? I mean, that seems excessive to me.
And you know what? Tell the guy to man up and make a decision where he wants to go out to eat, what time, and then let her pick the place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Oh, the husband. That wife sounds like an entitled twit. I'm sorry.
I have to be honest. I agree.
But how do you feel about me lying about nail appointments?
That's also wrong.
Not right. Oh, my God. Like, you're the only one that matters?
Right.
No. These other people bought my appointments.
No.
They don't respect the appointment book.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm definitely on the husband's side. She sounds so selfish and entitled, and the fact that she doesn't care about anybody else's time is really a disgusting trait to have in a personality. So he should really look at that.
Somebody that worked, you know, grew up in the restaurant business my whole entire life. That's what my parents do. When you have like a small restaurant like my parents have, when you have like 7-10 tables, you have somebody not show up for a reservation, that is a problem. That kills a Friday or a Saturday night when, you know? Like, it's rude.
Absolutely,
and it's not
yeah.
But because that happens from time to time, that's why you squeeze in the person who's a big fat liar.
Ugh.
Because you got the chicken dish.
Yeah,
the chicken is staring you in the face.
That's not excusable.
The chicken is staring you in the face. This chicken's either going to get sold or it's just going to sit here and weep.
How many people do you want to tell you that you're wrong, Raven? How many?
I just want the chicken when I want it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Colin, our audience agreed with you. It's messed up, Jackie. Stop it. That's what it comes down to.
Nice. Thank you, audience. Yeah, it's just, you know, these are people. It's not like a vending machine. These are people you're making their night harder every time.
Well, you remember that, Colin, when you guys are sitting 45 minutes in a lobby because you couldn't decide where you wanted to go with a reasonable dinner time.
Exactly. Well, look,
Jackie, the steam will just be coming out of your ears.
Well, just tell them to make a reservation and just commit already. Jeez.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,100. Thanks to Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you.
Pop.
All right, Danielle,
trivia.
You ready to play?
We're ready. I have a friend with me, too. We have a girl power team duo.
Oh, I like it. Danielle, what's your friend's name?
Samantha.
All right, ladies. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
Oh, yeah. Good luck, girls. $1,100.
Oh. He's mocking you. He's mocking you. Take him down. All right, girls. We have 5 questions here. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven will come back in. He'll get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You only have 3 seconds to answer each one. And if it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready?
We're ready.
Number one, there was a lot of surprise guests this past weekend at Coachella. Lana Del Rey brought out Billie Eilish and No Doubt brought out the artist currently on her Guts tour. Who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Number two, Jason Kelce defended his brother Travis for chugging a beer while receiving his diploma at the University of Cincinnati. Jason Kelce recently retired from what NFL team?
The Eagles.
Number three, as expected, Caitlin Clark was the number one draft pick for the WNBA, and she was selected by what team?
Arizona.
Number four, Emmy Russell on American Idol is making a name for herself and stunned the judges this past weekend. She is the granddaughter to what late Country Music Hall of Famer?
That I don't know.
And number five, Rick Ross accuses Drake of undergoing plastic surgery in his latest diss track called Champagne Moments. Drake played the role of Jimmy Brooks on what teen drama that started his career?
Degrassi.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
So 2 out of 5 for Samantha and Danielle.
Not great, ladies. Let's see how I do. Maybe they're really hard. Here we go.
Number one, there's a lot of surprise guests this past weekend at Coachella. Lana Del Rey brought out Billie Eilish. No Doubt brought out the artist that's currently on her Guts tour. Who's that?
Olivia Rodrigo.
That's right. Number two, Jason Kelce defended his brother Travis for chugging a beer while receiving his diploma at the University of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kelce recently retired from what NFL team?
The Eagles.
That's right. Number three, as expected, Caitlin Clark was the number one draft pick for the WNBA, and she was selected by what team?
Indiana Fever.
That's right. Number four, Emmy Russell on American Idol is making a name for herself, and she stunned the judges this past weekend. She is the granddaughter to what late Country Music Hall of Famer?
Isn't it, gosh, I know this, but I don't watch the show anymore. Mary Lou Retton? No, that's the gymnast. Wait a minute. Wait. Wait. Linda Ronstadt.
No.
No. Neither. Oh, you're gonna say it. And I'm gonna be mad.
Loretta Lynn.
Yes, that's it. Mary Lou.
Said Mary Lou.
You know where I was going.
I don't.
That's where I was going. Loretta.
Number five. Loretta Rick Lynn. Ross accuses Drake of undergoing plastic surgery in his latest diss track called "Champagne Moments." Drake played the role of Jimmy Brooks on what teen drama that started his career?
Come on.
Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah. No. Yeah, whatever. I know this one. It's, I can't think of it.
It's Degrassi, the next
one. That's it.
All right. I'm sorry, Danielle and Samantha. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right. We're Danielle and Samantha, and we can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girls. $1,200 tomorrow, Anna.